Okay, hi, I'm Lori. I'm a sex and love addict.
Hey, Lori. Hi, Lori.
And I'm very grateful to be here and to be asked to share. Thank you, Michael. But I'm nervous. I kind of wrote some notes down. In the book, in the basic text, the main author, he says once, the situation is roughly this, and I always love that. So kind of dramatic. The situation is roughly this. I fear intimacy and love because I didn't experience a safe, loving connection growing up. That's the situation, roughly. So I fear true intimacy with others because I think it would require me to be completely vulnerable. And to be truly vulnerable requires me to have a really solid relationship with myself. To face the fears of abandonment and loneliness. So that's roughly the situation I'm in and I've been in my entire life. And I think it's pretty clear where it came from. I think I came from a childhood of deprivation. My mom left when I was a couple months old, didn't come back because she's mentally ill. And then my father, so he was with us, but he, you know, was a sex and love addict. And that's, it's kind of interesting, the generational trauma, because he, like, chose my mom, who, like, how much more unavailable can you get than mentally ill? So that's the partner he chose, and because he's, you know, an avoidant, and he was also, so we were with him, and he was, like, a rageaholic and a sex and love addict. So he was very emotionally, like, incestuous with me and my sister, and verbally. And so that created also a very unsafe place for a connection with love. And then he remarried, and then my stepmother was also a pretty poor choice for him, or in general, because he was a sex and love addict. So again, he was avoiding intimacy and chose someone who was very avoidant. And she was like just pretty neglectful and depressed, and just there was no nourishment there either. So, you know, one of the characteristics is, you know, fearing emotional and or sexual deprivation. We stay enslaved to emotional dependency. We use emotional dependency as substitutes for nurturing, care, and support. Mm-hmm. I think that's where that all came from, you know, like I just didn't have any emotional sustenance. So it's like I was in a place of deprivation, and that created the problem of me searching for that nourishment. But, you know, like my therapist, I do go to therapy, you know, we talk a lot about how, you know, just not knowing any better, I kept searching for that nourishment in all the wrong places, as we talk about in here, going to the hardware store for milk. So just recreating those family dynamics of going to people who either weren't available, like my stepmother or my real mother, or were like my father, super intrusive and overwhelming. So no safe, I never knew how to like try and find someone who's safe. Yeah, so therein lies the problem. So I did hit my bottom in this program through, my main thing was romantic obsession. Pretty much an anorexic at the core. That's my natural state. I did do a lot of sexual acting out in my 20s, early 30s, but then pretty much it was always, like, growing up, it was always romantic obsession, just obsession. And that's what brought me into this program, an obsession on a man at work. And so in fall of 2013, kind of coming in here, just really kind of slowed the destruction. It didn't really totally stop, but just like slowed the speeding train. I didn't cheat on my husband, but I was emotionally cheating on him. And I stayed in my marriage. I had a two-year-old daughter at that time, and a lot of other things were going on. I have a stepson as well. The way the universe and higher power works for me, it's so beautiful. The best script writer that could ever be. It just like was like my stepson, his mother was also having an affair, and his family fell apart. So like I was like, is he gonna have two two moms that that happens to? I don't know. It's always like in the stars. It was like, I gotta stay. I gotta suck it up and start working this out. So, so really the solution that I've come to this after being in program and what I'm now understanding as my work is what we hear and hear all the time, like building a relationship with higher power. But what that looks like for me, because that's always kind of abstract for me. So I'm like, well, what does that really mean? But like what it means for me is feeling like I had some notes here. It was like truly believing that higher power, the universe, is pure love, and that it's the clean water that's spoken of in the basic text. Thank you. And it wants me to tap into that source, not other people, so that I can be connected to the original source of love. And then that's the way then I can find that true connection with others. I'm not going to find that with anyone, I don't believe, if I don't first find it with myself. And I'm not able to make that connection with myself without a power greater than myself. So I just need to create that safe and loving connection first within myself. And that comes through what I found out, self-care. Like now I'm just really leaning into self-care. I mean, does it kind of suck that I'm in my 50s and that happened? Yeah. Like sometimes I get resentful about that. But then I found a lot of gratitude in this program. You know, I get to do this work. Mm-hmm. I get to. Mm-hmm. I get to do it. And I'm so grateful for that, just to be alive and doing this work. Because, you know, recently one of my very best friends just got diagnosed with cancer. You know, like, I don't think it looks very good, to be honest. Yeah, it's like, I'm alive and I get to do this work. I'm grateful. But I need to create that safe space. And that's really by working this program. And lately, the last 3 years, after I got out of the sexual acting out and romantic obsession, what it really started coming to be about was like all my underlying codependence and codependent relationships with everybody around me, my family, my friends. I had so many entangled relationships. Basically, that was my way of making connections. And that really looked like self-sacrifice a lot, like just all these friends, and just like I'm like so involved in all the details of how to fix them, you know. And that's like, man, I can't believe how much fucking energy that took, like having to save every alcoholic, fucking, like a lot of my friends, you know, are just, yeah, going through it. And then I can just create that space of like, I'm here for you, I don't have the solution for you. I'm not your higher power. They're going to sort it out. So I've really started to untangle that. And now it's like down to the primary relationship with my husband. And that's like the scariest one. So trying to like really be like honest with him is something that's really difficult for me. Mainly just like being open about my feelings and like how I'm really feeling. Because I still fear his reactions and his disappointment, anger, like... Set it 2 minutes. So like now I'm kind of getting to the like real meat of it, and that feels really good. I just know that the whole point is of my life is to do this work and to find clarity, so that I can really be there for myself and others. So wait, let's see. Hopefully, let me see what else I had in here. Yeah, let's see here. I thought, okay, there's some grateful things I had. I'm alive at this moment. What a gift. I have all my 5 senses, and my body's in good health. I'm able to be present and of service to others. I love colors, jazz, classical music. I'm listening to a lot of radios. The woods, fabrics, being good at my job, being a good mother, daughter, sister, wife, making people laugh, laughing, movies, art, conversation, food, this room, all of you. And I just wanted to read, we read this yesterday in a meeting, and it was really great. I thought, like, this kind of, from step 11, Miracles of Miracles. Here we are now experiencing the mystery of spiritual reality as a fruit of participating in everyday reality, rather than as a prize for escaping it. Mm-hmm. We found that this thirst, the need for love, was a spiritual thirst, and the water was the God of our understanding. When we walk through each day with the sense of being hand in hand with God, as a spring of love seemed to flow from within, available to help us quench the thirst for love of ourselves and others. Thus we came to find intimacy with ourselves, intimacy with God, and intimacy with others. So, yeah, that's my path, just to hopefully be able to find that. Or I think I'm getting there more and more each day. So, thank you.